Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
Amen, amen, amen. Chuck, bring me up Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. I want to get into this just for a few moments, and then we're going to honor our graduates and honor our interns. And I want to say, if you're here as a guest today and you're visiting, this is not a normal day. I'm not going to tell you I'm not going to preach in my Harley garb in the future because I'm very comfortable in that. But what I'm telling you is seemed to be a lot of center of focus. We don't, I don't like a lot of honor. I like honor, but I don't like a lot of it pointed. I think church has been out of balance on Pastor's Day and Pastor's birthday, and my birthday fell today, and I appreciate every gift. But can I tell you what? The greatest thing you can give us is loving us unconditionally, following our leadership, and helping us establish a move of God across this territory. Every one of you are a move of God looking to happen. Carol Leake asked me to speak on revival at the National Day of Prayer at the Kroc Center. And it was such incredible speakers. Jim and Debbie were there. Jim did such a great job about Israel and helping us understand our root. The one I was impressed with was Steve Gaines' wife. I can't even remember her name, but I want to tell you, I just sit there and all, you know, Steve Gaines is the pastor of Bellevue Baptist, and she's working with Arise Memphis, which is where schools are adopting, churches are adopting schools to help with that. And just incredible. One of the things that God really spoke to me was that every one of you in the Ezekiel 47 river that's carrying healing with that. And so we've got to get relational, okay? Now, here's what I want to tell you what the paper is, because I want you to begin to ask God. I want you to write on that paper before you leave here today the name of some people you want to see to come fully into Christ. Maybe some of them are just kind of peripheral, or maybe they've been in Christ and they backed up, they're prodigals, they're backslidden, or maybe they've never been born again. But I want you to write on that, because let me just tell you, how many of you are ready to catch some fish? Amen? How many of you are really ready to catch some fish? Well, there's different ways to fish. I wish my son Dean could have been here today, because years ago when we were pioneering a church up in Hayti, Missouri, Dean went and spent about a month with my dad. And when he came back, he got all the little boys in the church together. And this is what he told me. He said, I was with my grandpa Bob, and said, he knows how to catch all the fish that's in the lake. He said, because he carried us down on the lake, and he took this dynamite and he would throw it in the lake, and fish would start coming to the top. Well, that's one way of fishing. It's not exactly legal, although Dad was doing it in a private lake, which borderline there where it was legal or not. But that was my dad. I mean, how many of you know what it means to telephone fish? Anybody here go back far enough? Jack's an Arkansas guy. They used to take the old crank telephone, and you could run electricity in the water. There's many different ways to fish. Some of them are legal. Anybody ever heard of stovepiping fish? Stovepiping. You can take a stovepipe and in a boat at night and a light, and you go along a lake that's got a real shallow bank, you know, real gradual bank, doesn't get real deep, and you can see the brim and the bass and the crappie under the water, and you just stick that stovepipe over and reach down the stovepipe and get fish. Now, all of these I'm talking with are illegal, so don't go out and do it, all right? I was a heathen one. But what I want you to understand, if you're going to catch fish, I believe these names you're writing on these papers are fish that God wants to catch. In fact, I had this come to me recently, and I want you to see this. We're going to cast a net on another side, okay? I want to show you this. That is a net that's weighted, and I didn't get it prepared last night, but we're going to put it here. It's going to be here in this. Spread that out for me, Chris. And it's going to be here, and we're going to put it over PVC pipe. And it's, God puts on your heart someone you want to be saved. At the end of this service, I want you to bring that name up and lay it on that net that's going to be laying here on the floor. Because I'm just telling you, you're going to stand amazed in the next few months, in the next 12 months, of the people they're just going to call and tell you, I got born again. I couldn't hear it all that time. You were telling me I need to be a Christian. But something happened and my life changed. But you're going to have to put that name on that paper, and you're going to have to understand God is not into this evangelism thing of where we're making converts. This new model that is on the scene, this transition model, is not about making converts. It's about making disciples. Let me tell you what, the part that's been missing, even with the best. How many of you went through a discipleship class in your life? On the best discipleship class there's ever been held in a classroom, it still was teaching and non-relational. And the discipleship that God wants is for you to be willing to disciple. I've shared this recently, but I'm going to share it again. I met a man one time from Mozambique, and I'd heard he was one of the greatest disciplers in Africa. And I was in a meeting, it was a very casual, and I asked him about disciple, and I said, I hear that you've made hundreds and hundreds of disciples. I said, you know, because that's a kind of a broad word. I said, what is a disciple to you? And he said, my disciples are not disciples until they've made their first disciple. My disciples are not disciples until they've made their first disciple. And so discipleship is relational. But there is a net that God wants you to cast. The way that you've been trying to see your loved ones, your friends, your coworkers saved is not going to work. You're going to have to take a step back, just like God, everything that God does, and you're going to have to begin to be relational. Let's look at Luke. It says, so it was as the multitude... is that Luke 5? Oh, I'm looking for where he cast the net. Go, is it a little bit further? I might have the wrong text in my mind. I'm looking for where he came up on the fisherman. I thought I looked it up while going on my phone. Yeah, here it is. Yeah. Then he got in one of the boats, which is Simon. He asked him to pull out a little bit from the land. He said, well, I'll go back to the part where they're mending their nets. Is that in verse 2? And they were washing or mending their nets. How many of you know, how many of you ever worked with a net? My dad was a big fisherman. He had barrel nets, hoop nets, some people call them. He had tremble net. He had every kind of net. And I want to tell you, every time we took them up, my job was, dad was stretching. I had to get every little twig out of it. Every little piece of bone, you know, if a turtle got hung in it and died there, I had to get all the bones out. I had to make sure that net was in proper, so when dad went to put it out the next time, it would be put out. And so it says there, they were washing, or one of the translations said, mending their net, next scripture. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Now, let me share something with you. It says there were two boats there. What caused him to get in Simon's boat? Was Simon his pick? I believe the Word of God says that God doesn't show partiality. Let me tell you why that he went to Simon's boat. Because Simon had the spirit of faith. I want you to catch that. He had the spirit of faith. Remember when Jesus came walking across the water one time and he went to the disciples? There's a storm raging. The seas are rough. And he came to them in a way that he'd never came before. And what did they begin to do? They hid. They said they hid in the boat. They got behind. They thought it was a ghost. But then one of them in that boat, just one of them, had the spirit of faith. And he rose up and he said, if that be you, Lord, bid me to come. See, the spirit of faith will always speak forth for the word of faith. And when he said that to him, if that's you, Lord, bid me to come, Jesus said back, the word of faith came back to him, and he said, step out of the boat. And the reason that he got in Simon's boat is because you can go through all of God's word, the gospel, and everywhere there, even into the epistles, you can always find Peter operating in the spirit of faith. It was there. And when you have the spirit of faith, it brings forth the word of faith, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little further from the land, and they put out, and he sat down, and he began to talk, to teach the multitude, and when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for another catch. One of the translations talked about casting on the other side of the boat. What I want you to get here is the understanding. Now, here are some guys who's fished all night. They ain't caught nothing. They've mended their net. They've washed their net. They're ready to go home. And he says, cast this net on the other side. Cast it again. In other words, how many of you know it didn't take a lot of faith the first time they went fishing because their expectation level was there. But once you fished all night, once you've prayed for years for someone, we become a little bit stale. We're a whole lot like the man that said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. We're in that place of we're wondering whether it's not going to work. Lord, why is everybody else's loved ones getting saved and mine are not? And he said, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Verse 5. But Simon, verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have already towed all night. We've fished all night. We've caught nothing. But then, nevertheless, look to your neighbor and say, nevertheless. I don't care what that friend, I don't care what that loved one, I don't care what that prodigal child, I don't care what that co-worker, I don't care what has gone on in their life. I'm telling you, I heard God speak about a week and a half ago. We're at a nevertheless point about seeing people come into the kingdom.
Yes.
And there are going to be people that you never dreamed is going to come in. I want to tell you, and I was born again in the 80s, and about that time, it was like God began to bring in the bad boys. I want to clean this up as best I can, but one of the guys that got saved during that time was a guy named Terry Butcher. And I'm going to clean this up because we got kids in the room, but he was called B.A. Butcher. Let your mind imagine what the B.A. stood for. I mean, he was as tough as there was. He was a bigger bar fighter than I'd been. He was the one that if you wanted trouble, Terry would give it. And God reached right down into Terry. He got a hold of some of the King boys over in my area. He began to get a hold of some of the families that had fits for the last night. They were some. And God began to do something because, can I tell you, he wants to take those cursing sailors and turn them into fishers of men. And he wants to turn this thing around to where your hope and your expectations going to go to another level.
Amen.
But you're going to have to believe. There's a seining net that I went and purchased last night at Sportsman Warehouse here on this floor. But you're going to have to believe that you've got a net. There's something in your life that God has geared and equipped you to catch somebody.
Yes.
Lisa, it's your testimony. I'm not even going to say it out, but the part you shared here so valiantly that day back in October with that. See, God gives us some. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says there, comforting those who are in any trouble with the comfort that we were comforted in our trouble. Where's been your biggest struggle that you've overcome? What's been your biggest, problem? What's been your Achilles heel? What is the thing that caused you to stop? That's where God wants you to get victory, and that's where he's going to get. Has it been anger? Has it been abuse of pharmaceuticals? Has it been abuse of drugs? Has it been abuse of alcohol, porn, sex, whatever it might be? I'm telling you that God will deliver you and so fortify you that it will become that very thing that was weakness in you will become your strength, and he will put you in contact with people that are struggling in that area. Isn't it interesting that out of all the giftings, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, the only one, and I believe we could apply these all. I don't believe God's so finite we couldn't, but the only one that was ever given any instruction telling everybody to do the work of an evangelist. That's the only one that's recorded. See, evangelism is not a campaign. I love the anointing that Damon Thompson is carrying now, and I think it's even shifted her a little bit this week there in Chattanooga, and they're going to weekends down in Pensacola, down with Rick Curry, and they're moving it all around in the down there, and I love all that. I'm not for that, but let me just share something with you. That kind of move of God is only about getting people fired up so they'll start winning their neighbors to the Lord.
That's right. That's all it's about.
If it's only about, I'm thinking get in trouble, but if it's only about another Brownsville or Toronto or anything like that, we're missing it, honey.
That's right.
I'm telling
That's
you.
Right.
God's got you wherever you work at. Those of you that work at Smith Nephew, God's got you there. You're an evangelist. If you're selling mattresses, you're an evangelist. You know, I don't care what you're doing. If you're working at, is it Disney World? You finally landed a job this summer. If you're working there, God's sending her there with a ability to be an epistle. Now let me just share one other thing, and then we're gonna move out of this. But I don't want you to leave here today without. Please, I'm asking you to stay until God puts a name on your heart to put on that paper, and you put it on this net. And we're gonna set that net up permanently here in this building for a while, because we're gonna do it, and we're gonna come in and pray over it. And on Sunday morning, when the prayer furnace is going, y'all need to pray over those names. You watch them start popping up. You watch them start popping in. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. And you watch, the responsibility is going to come your way to begin to disciple them. Amen?
Amen.
It hadn't come together yet, but some of you know there's a possibility that I'm going to be able to preach at Sturgis this summer. Still up in the winds, and there's even some potential problems that it might not come to pass because of something that's happened recently, but there's a potential of me preaching, and some of you are going to grimace because you've probably caught at least 2 minutes of it on TV, but there's a reality show called Full Throttle Bar. Any of it, I know you didn't watch it because you're so godly, but any of you breeze by it for 30 seconds? It's a rough place. And this is what the owner has said. He said, if you'll ride his Harley here, and he's not afraid to do so, I'll let him stand on one of my bars and preach, and I'll give him my word they won't throw beer bottles at him. And my friend who talked to him said, he's tough enough to do that. Now, the full invitation has not come in. I don't want to ride to Sturgis. I don't want to be around the debauchery unless I got a purpose. We met a woman years ago right here in Memphis. I think we met him through Reed Farmer or through Dan and them or something, and they had a daughter who went to Amsterdam and would pay the prostitutes for 30 minutes of their time and preach the gospel to them.
Wow.
So you got to get out of the box. We, you know, I even was thinking about this morning on my website. I've got on there that my occupation is getting God out of the box. God ain't never been in a box. It's you and I that's been in the box. I'm going to change my website. I'm going to change it to getting saints out of the box. That's my occupation. I want you to leave here thinking differently today. I enjoyed riding my scooter in here. I mean, I've been looking forward all week. I don't think Steve Lewis is in the house today. Is he? Steve, you here? Wave at me if you are. Steve's not here today, but anyway, he came. I got him by, and he spit-shined it for me this week. I want it looking good for you. Susan got a new Harley this week, you know, with that. I mean, Jim and Debbie got one. I mean, Lord, we're growing here. I can see it. You know, we need to have a biker's blessing. Maybe, yeah, let me, how about if we do this? If we have a biker's blessing, but on the same day we bless your cars. You know, I was thinking the other day, bikers all believe in having their bikes prayed over so they won't have an accident. Why don't we do it? I mean, I know you pray. I pray blessings over my cars every time I get in them. Are you hearing me? We got to get out of the box. I remember years ago when it was a religious bunch that I led, who wasn't here, and the church across the street was Episcopalian, and they ran on the front page of the Dyersburg paper up there, and it said, Pet Blessing Sunday. And people, and I remember some of my people in the church said, can you believe they're doing that? And I said, dang, why not think of it first? Come on.
I was going to say this earlier.
Bring it up.
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
He's saying bring up a check, 1 or 2. No.
Yeah, there we go. Cash, check. I was going to say this earlier, but I think this is the time. Clay had, I've had two bikes. And when we were pastoring, planning a church, we sold the bike so our daughter could go to Christ for the Nations. And so it's been 4 years since we've had a bike. And Clay kept telling me, Jim, that you're going to get a bike. And I've never had a Harley, so this is my first Harley. And my wife is very prophetic. She's an intercessor. And she kept saying to me in January of this year, she said, this is the season for you to get a Harley. And I would just, you know, smile and say, okay. And the last 3 or 4 weeks during Passover, she said, the Lord has said, this is the season for you to get a Harley. Well, when your wife tells you that, man, there is a God in heaven. You know? So anyway, we started looking, and it all came together so quickly. I mean, it was like, wow. So I was up Saturday morning at 4 o'clock because I couldn't sleep. I was so excited about us getting to ride our new bike yesterday. And I heard the Lord say, I love you so much that I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. And I wanted a red pickup, and I got a red Ford 150. I wanted a Harley, and the Lord gave me a Harley Davidson. And as I was speaking, as I was praying, I just was blessing the Lord because this is the time of violent worship. It's the season between Passover and Pentecost of violent worship. And I was speaking to the Lord about that, and he said it starts with the head. And we are a part of a body that we love, Clay and Susan. And what blesses them should trickle down into our lives. As we submit ourselves to the Lord and to spiritual authority, that's going to happen. And so what's interesting is, you know, a lot of people won't do that, but if you'll do it, God will give you the desires of your heart. Not just for you, but then for your children and your grandchildren. And it just keeps going on and on. And one other thing, you can't see this right now, but when you brought the Harley in, the gold dust was all over your right hand and your left hand. But after we prayed for your eye, you look like a pirate because your right eye is just full of gold dust. Notice this? But the left eye doesn't have, but the right eye does. So the healing's happening right now.
Amen. Amen. Woo! All right. I want to transition. So how many of you noticed I got a deck of cards hanging on me? Any of you notice that? Well, it's not a deck of cards. This is the greatest birthday present I've been given. It was given to me by Haley. It says right here, 61 reasons you're the best papa ever. Oh. She worked very hard to put these. You're always generous. You're determined in everything. You love me for me. Exactly. And you're very wise. And I was just thinking a while ago, you know, 61 reasons. And it does, you know, it looks like it's a deck of cards, but it's not. And so this morning when I wrote in, I wanted to have that on me. But I want to close with this. We're gonna honor our graduates and our interns, our Vanguard. Matt couldn't be here today. Matt Koss is away. Something that was already planned. And because next Sunday is Mother's Day, we don't want to do it. But I just want to say to you, leave here today expecting. You know, last night, it's just so easy to get in people's life. We had ran to Sportsman Warehouse and bought this net, getting ready for this morning. And it ran to Lowe's. I actually was going to put together on a PVC stand, and I'll have that done by next week. But we did that, and Susan and Haley wanted to go through and torment me at Dairy Queen and get a blizzard, okay? And so I drove them through. And when I got around to the window, the girl, you know, pulled up there, and I had the credit card ready to pay for it. And the girl said $7 and something cents, whatever that it was. And I just asked her, I said, do you accept Monopoly money? And all of a sudden, that hard day she's had. I mean, we're right there at closing hour. That hard day she's had, everything just began to dissipate. And I begin to get into places of her heart and places of her life with that. It is so easy to get in people's life. And can I tell you, she was a stranger, and we sometimes find it easier with strangers, but you can do the same thing. You know, you can do the same thing with family. You can do the same thing with friends. You can do the same thing with coworkers. You just got to choose to do that. I bless you with creative ideas. I bless you with the ability to touch people like you never touched. I bless you to get in their life and cause them to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I declare they're going to open their hearts to you and share things, and you're going to have words of wisdom and words of knowledge and understanding that will change. And we just bless you to leave here today with things that are brand new today in Jesus' name.